Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Spellman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. This is a show whose purpose is to empower you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions possible regarding your health and well-being and, of course, hormonal balance. So I have a variety of experts on my show every week, and we discuss topics that are really relevant to our health. Before we talk about a really important topic that we will be discussing today, I want to remind everyone to go over to my website, whatwomenmustknow.com, and opt in there because I have some very special free reports I make available to people through my newsletter. You'll really want to get them. It's talking about hormone myths and hormone truths and understanding more of our adrenals and the role they play with our hormonal health and rejuvenation. So it's critical information that I find most of us do not have access to. So all you need to do is just opt in there and they get sent to you automatically. And also the radio shows that I do are sent to you automatically. And you also will want to go over to my Facebook page, which happens to be What Women Must Know, because I post daily articles, strategies, interviews, protocols, lots of great information is posted up there on a daily basis. So it's just a place to go to get yourself fully informed, to really stay on the cutting edge of what's going on, particularly with topics that are relevant to our hormones, our health, well-being, rejuvenation, really waking up to what's going on and taking charge of our own lives. So I hope you'll join me on the website and also on my Facebook page. Lots to learn, and there's always something new that I'm into, and I really get excited to share with everyone. And actually, I'm really excited about today's conversation and the topic we're going to be talking about. I find that the more I look into the issue of cancer, you know, it is now estimated that in our lifetime, one out of two Americans will be diagnosed with cancer. So cancer, more than ever before, is a looming epidemic. It is an incredibly disruptive experience, to say the least. People who find themselves diagnosed are just thrown into a world that is like a whirlpool just dragging them down. You just don't know where to go first and what to do, and you're faced with many important decisions. Many of them are life challenging. So you really need to know what is happening, and it's best to get this knowledge before anything will ever and hopefully will never show up. But certainly the knowledge is useful for us because we will have friends and relatives, colleagues, who will be facing some of these health challenges. So I wanted to introduce you to a very special man. His name is Walter Wainwright. And first I'm just going to share a little bit about Walter and why I feel his information and his message is so important for all of us. Walter is founder and chief counselor for Halen Research Foundation, the United States government-approved 501c public foundation. Mr. Wainwright, an honors graduate of Tulane University, is an internationally known lecturer with more than 20 years' experience in researching the prevention and treatment of cancer and other chronic diseases with soy phytochemicals. Mr. Wainwright's research has received recognition by the National Cancer Institute in the United States and several leading cancer centers in Europe. He has collaborated with the Institute for Laboratory Medicine in Germany on reversing DNA damage and improving gene expression in cancer cells with soy phytochemicals. He has designed and completed clinical trials in Asia, Europe, and the United States showing the human health benefits of dietary soy phytochemicals. His research and experience with humans documents the benefits of soy therapy for both the prevention and treatment of estrogen receptor-positive breast, ovarian, prostate, and other cancers. Mr. Wainwright's research also addresses how the soy phytochemicals protect cancer patients from chemotherapy-induced cell mutations, related toxicity, infections, leukopenia, and anemia. It also enhances cancer cell killing effectiveness 8 to 10 times greater than chemotherapy treatments by themselves. His research has been the subject of several peer-reviewed articles on killing treatment-resistant cancer stem cells. Mr. Wainwright is an internationally recognized lecturer. He has lectured at the Royal Society of Medicine in London, the European Society of Anti-Aging Medicine in Vienna, and other prestigious conferences in Europe, Brazil, and North America. So Walter Wainwright has a lot to share with us today, and we are going to be looking at some profound insights into what really is going on with estrogen-driven cancers, and go beyond that to other cancers, even other chronic illnesses. And we're going to be talking about not just what drives them, the causes, but we're also going to be examining some of the solutions. And this is a particularly important conversation, not only for people who are dealing with cancers, but those people who are dealing with metastases of cancers as well, which is always the most challenging form of advanced cancer. So we have really tremendous amount of important information to be sharing with you today. And it's my pleasure to welcome Walter Wainwright to the show. Hello, Walter.
Well, it's good to be with you.
Well, we do have a lot to talk about today, and I know you're good at just sharing it all. So I want to start. You know, we have an audience that's a lay audience, so we want to explain things in a manner that allows them to understand it. And I know you talk to many prestigious scientific conferences, so we're going to, you know, do our best to translate this so the average person will really understand the important things you're saying. So, Walter, we're going to be talking about this special soy phytochemical compound that you have been researching. And before we go into the many avenues of what drives cancers, and particularly cancers that are estrogen-related, I want to ask you, what's the story, what's the history of this specific, very, very specific product, this the soy phytochemical known as Halon 951. What's the history to it?
Going back over 20 years, I went to China every month for 15 years, and at that point in time, I was interested in research in first ethanol fermentation was in 25, 30 years ago. And during this period of time, I was also doing some cancer research. China had just opened up, and I was interested in what they knew that we didn't know. In the United States, we had been sheltered from traditional Chinese medicine. We didn't fully understand it, but I was interested in what was going on. During that research, there was a nutritionist working at a hospital in South China. And she said, it doesn't make any difference what anybody has to get better when they eat soybeans. And she was working at a hospital, which was a lung hospital. If a person had another problem, they went to a different hospital. But this had a lot of monitors with lung cancer, black lung, silicosis, asbestosis. And so she had some patients where the lung tumors were shrinking. What happens now is that the U.S. government spends $20 million looking at anti-cancer compounds in fruits and vegetables. They found five superstar categories. All of them were in soybeans. So then I knew what compounds were in the soy that were causing those tumors to shrink in this particular hospital when the nutritionist was feeding people a fermented soy drink. I had some patents in pulp and paper technology and ethanol fermentation. And so what I did was to recognize what those compounds were. So I improved the fermentation process, increased the concentration and delivery of those compounds to where my initial intention was to develop a hospital nutrition for children and for adults as well. So anyway, out of that, wound up with a study with infants 6 months old through children age 11 as hospital nutrition. But as we went along, it turned out that there was a tremendous influx of information with cancer patients. The U.S. government published their information April 17, 1991, in the Journal of the National Cancer Institute, dealing with the anti-cancer compounds in soy. And since then, there's over 100,000 studies done. And so we've seen applications to many diseases besides cancer because those compounds do what we call cell differentiation and build what we call cellular immunity, which is very different than what general concept is on immunity.
So we're going to go into this, and I just want people to really bear with us because it will open your eyes. And the first thing we need to just say and make distinctions, and when we talk about the type of fermented soy beverage you will be giving us more knowledge about, it's not about soy milk, it's not about miso soup, we're not talking about any forms of soy that are available over the counter. Is that correct?
Well, that's correct. It's more complicated than people think. First, there are over 10,000 varieties of soybeans. The second thing is that the phytochemical content in the end product depends 50% on the minerals in the soil where the soybeans are grown. It varies an additional 50% depending on age of the beans when they pick for processing. And so in the development work we did, we had the beans handpicked at the peak of the phytochemical content to have consistency. Whereas in the United States, now we see genetically modified soybeans, which have real problems in terms of health. They destroy the myelin sheath, the brain barrier, and so there are diseases that can be caused by the genetically modified soybeans. Now, the normal soybean, there's a lot of information that's not correct on that. For instance, allergies in soy. No one is allergic to fermented soy because it breaks the proteins down to a level to where they don't produce antigens. So there are no allergies with fermented soy. Similarly, people thought that soy affected the thyroid. Well, it turned out the studies show that no one is affected except those who are low in iodine. So there are misconceptions, and Price Weston Foundation said at one point in time that the soy phytates absorbed all the minerals in the body and they caused problems. And they cited a study that was done in Sudan where the World Health Organization had given soy to people who were third world country poverty, and they cited they were deficient in minerals. Well, the problem is, later information showed they were deficient in minerals before they ate the soy, so it wasn't the soy that caused it. That particular mechanism of binding to compounds in the intestines is what gives the soy its anti-cancer properties for colon colorectal type cancers, which it's quite good at.
Well, that's good, because I was under the influence of those studies and that perception as well. So you've really helped me to clarify the information so I can be more accurate. But we're really talking about a very specific formulated fermented soy beverage, or you call it a beverage. It's a very healing food, actually. And it's quite unique. And I have to say, there's a tremendous amount of research, and you've been dedicating your life for the last 20 years doing the hard research through universities and other institutions to really show what benefits occur when people have this very special fermented soy beverage. So I think let us start, Walter, with explaining what you meant by cellular immunity and how it affects cancer, and kind of dispel some of the myths so we can get accurate knowledge. I find one of the most confusing issues when we're dealing with cancer is what is really going on, what is really driving these cancers, and if you don't really understand it, then it's impossible to heal it because you don't know what mechanism you're addressing, what will really support it. And, you know, what are the consequences if you do other treatments such as chemotherapy and radiation that could aggravate a condition? So That's why I'm so excited about you being here, because I have learned more from your lectures. I had more profound insight into what are the mechanisms behind cancers than I found anywhere else from anyone else. So where shall we begin?
Okay, well, let's start first with everybody should know about cancer to be able to understand it and its nature and what they need to accomplish in order to become cancer-free and healthy. First thing we need to know when we're talking about cancer is that 99.1 to 99.9% of the cells in any original tumor are not malignant. They will not hurt you. They cannot metastasize to a vital area. They're just occupying space, and unless that space is in the brain, it's not a problem at all. Second thing we need to know is that in any original tumor, 0.1%, not more than 0.9% of the cells in a tumor are cancer stem cells. Those are the ones that kill people. Third thing we need to know and understand is that chemotherapy and radiation selectively kill the non-malignant cells in a tumor. They do not kill the cancer stem cells that kill people. They only kill the non-malignant cells. That is why the death rate has not changed in over 30 years. And so what's going on is this. If we look in the mirror today, and we look in the mirror next month when we look in the mirror at our skin, we will not see anything we see today. All those cells we would see today in the mirror will have died and been replaced. Lips to the GI tract, those cells die and are replaced not more than 5 to 7 days. So we are in a constant state of cells dying and being replaced. So what happens is this. If we have a cell die in the liver, that cell that is dying will produce a compound called interleukin-8. The interleukin-8 will attract a stem cell that's produced in your bone marrow that's circulating around in the body. Those stem cells are the good guys. They can replace any cell in you. And two characteristics we need to recognize up front. One, stem cells are immortal. They don't die. They circulate around. The second, they're multipotent. They can replace any cell in you. So if we have a liver cell dying, that liver cell produces interleukin-8, and every cell in you, when it dies, it does the same thing. It produces interleukin-8. That will attract a stem cell. Now, that stem cell will then twist and produce two cells. One will continue to circulate around and replace other cells that die in you, and the daughter cell that is created will replace the dying cell. Now, the dying cell gives information to the stem cell in the form of what are called cytokines. That way, the stem cell will produce a liver cell, not a brain cell or a pancreatic cell in the liver. That is because that dying cell is giving specific information to the stem cell as what cell to become. Because remember, it can replace any cell. The problem is, inflammation is associated with all major diseases. So the inflammatory cytokines, if we have a person who has hepatitis, viral conditions in the liver, the dying cell produces interleukin-8 that attracts a stem cell. But that stem cell then gets conflicting signals from the inflammatory cytokines, which are conflicting with the cytokines that come from the dying cell. It can get confusing to the stem cell, and so it does not differentiate. Now, differentiation refers to that stem cell developing receptor sites and functioning. When that stem cell initially is formed, it's immortal like the mother cell, won't die. But when it develops receptor sites and functioning, it will become an apoptotic cell, which means it will die its normal death like other cells in you, as it should. But when that cell does not differentiate, doesn't develop all the receptor sites, all the functioning, and now we have a cell that doesn't function like a normal one, it has not become an apoptotic cell, it won't die, and you can't kill it because chemotherapy won't get into it. It doesn't have the receptor sites. And also, in addition, those stem cells are extremely good at repairing DNA damage. And that's important to recognize, that stem cells have that characteristic, because if stem cells were damaged by chemotherapy, toxins, poisons, and radiation, every time we had someone who was a cancer patient and they had chemotherapy or radiation treatment, we would damage all of the stem cells in us, and we would never be healthy, because every time a cell died, with a DNA damaged cell. So stem cells are extremely important, but differentiation is what it's about. And this is where hormones come in. Hormones cause cell differentiation.
Wait, Walter, before we go any further, just let me clarify, because people may be asking this question, because I've asked it. People have never heard of cancer stem cells before. That's a totally new concept. I never heard about cancer stem cells, really, until you started talking about it, and I was been listening to your lectures. So can you just give us a brief definition of what a cancer stem cell is?
Sure. What happens is, in any cell, we always start off with a dying cell in us being replaced by a stem cell. The stem cells are normally good guys, and they differentiate into any cell, which means they can replace any cell in us. And when they do that, those cells normally die. The trouble with cancer cells is that they don't die like a normal cell. And so the problem is, when we look at most cells in a tumor, they are differentiated to some degree. Therefore, they have developed some receptor sites. Let's take a liver cell. It may have developed 75% or 80% of the receptor sites and functioning of a normal liver cell. And so that person can function. He doesn't have cancer because the cell is not functioning well. So he's got a liver problem. And that same theory would apply to whether it's a kidney problem or other things. So the idea is to repair the DNA damage. And so hormones do that. Now, when we look at this, one of the major players in our body is what is called the P53 tumor suppressor gene. That is, and genes produce proteins. So in every cell in us, head to toe, we have what is called a P53 tumor suppressor gene. That produces a protein that has a molecular weight of 53. That protein should mix with the DNA, break down, and produce a protein called P21. The P21 allows the cell to repair the DNA damage if it's repairable. If not, it kills that cell by stopping its replication. Now, 96% of ovarian cancer patients have problems with the P53 tumor suppressor gene, and 55% of cancer patients across the board have problems, because that P53 protein becomes inactivated, it mixes with other proteins, does not break down and produce the P21. When you don't produce the P21, your cell cannot repair the DNA damage. You will get diseases depending on which genes are damaged. Cancer is one of those. And so one of the things we do with the fermented soil we've done the work on, we increase that level of P21 in what are called the circulating tumor cells, at which point that repairs the DNA damage, if it's repairable. If not, it kills that cell, because that cell is not physically fit to survive. But the problem is, we those mechanisms to control our cell differentiation to make it healthy often becomes, inactivated, because that P53 protein mixes with other proteins and does not break down and produce the P21. So that's one of the areas that's extremely important. Now, there was an article that was written a couple of months ago, one doctor who had written a book 400 pages long, and they talked about cancer patients. They tested them, and it was disappointing. They were not uniform in the genes. They had thousands of genes damaged. One person had 100 million genes damaged. Another, 100,000 genes damaged. Another one had 50,000 genes damaged. third one had 25,000 genes damaged, and so they were looking at repairing those individual genes. Well, the reality is the problem with all three of those people was the P53 protein was inactivated. That's why the one person had 100,000 genes that's damaged. That's why the other one had 50,000 genes damaged, and one with 25,000, and all of them can be different. That is why there is no uniformity in what they were looking at, but they didn't understand the importance of the cell differentiation, which is a repair. And so when we're talking about the P53 tumor suppressor gene, everybody in oncology knows it because they know it prevents tumors. But what it's really doing is causing abnormal cells to differentiate, to develop the receptor sites and function as a normal cell. If and it cannot be repaired to that point, it should be killed. And that's a mechanism our body has. But the problem is it becomes inactivated with toxins, poisons, pesticides. It's a toxic world today. And so we are seeing more and more cancers from all types of problems.
Okay, so that's one mechanism that's going on in our body. If our body was working properly, then we wouldn't be getting cancer because we would be able to recognize these cells, repair them, or make sure they died.
Okay, now I want to jump to cellular immunity.
Okay.
Now, every cell in us, head to toe, has what are called estrogen receptor alpha and estrogen receptor beta sites. Estrogen receptor alpha is where estradiol and estrogens go. Estrogens are...
And this has nothing to do with estrogen-positive cancers. Is
no,
this a different,
no.
Right?
What estrogen receptor-positive breast cancer refers to is that if estrogen gets into the cell, it goes to estrogen receptor alpha, and it will make those cells proliferate. It'll make them grow. So when we say estrogen receptor positive breast cancer, the two basic theories involving the drug tamoxifen, and second is aromatase inhibitors, because tamoxifen has been around for 25 years. It resembles the estrogen molecule. It will fit into the estrogen receptor alpha, and therefore it will block estrogen from getting into the site, and that will slow down the growth rate of the cancer. Now, aromatase inhibitors came about probably 6-7 years ago, and they are known as Femora, Aromadex, and pharmaceutical companies have been pushing them because the patents on the tamoxifen have expired, and they make roughly 22 times more money. But the difficulty, they are pushing the aromatase inhibitors, and what that does, aromatase is an enzyme that blocks the production of estrogen. So the idea, if we reduce the production of estrogen, then and don't have it, then we don't have to block it to keep it out of the receptor site because it's not around. Well, the difficulty with it is the pharmaceutical companies pushed the aromatase inhibitor because in a study there was a slightly longer period of time before the reoccurrence of the breast cancer in favor of the aromatase inhibitor Femora as compared to tamoxifen. But the only problem is the death rate is higher with the aromatase inhibitor than with the tamoxifen patients, and the hip fractures were roughly 380 versus 260. Now, why would the death rate be higher? That is because it reduced what we know as estrogen receptor beta. Now, estrogen receptor beta is where your immunity is concerned. This is a cell component receptor site that is in the nucleus of the cell. Estrogen receptor alpha and estrogen receptor beta are not on the surface of a cell. They're in the nucleus of the cell with the DNA. That is why xenoestrogens and some compounds that resemble estrogen, they go into the cell, they mix with the DNA, damage the DNA, because those compounds go to estrogen receptor alpha, which is where all of the cancers are. all the cancers in estrogen receptor alpha. Now, estrogen receptor beta was discovered in 1995 by Jan Gustafson, chairman of the Nobel Prize Committee, and he named it estrogen receptor beta. It turned out it is not an estrogen receptor site. It is an anti-estrogen receptor site. Compounds that go to estrogen receptor beta increase immunity. They are antibacterial, antiviral, highly anti-cancer. And so that we now know healthy people have a greater number of beta receptor sites in the nucleus of a cell than alpha receptor sites, cancer patients and sick people, or vice versa. Cancer patients have a greater number of alpha receptor sites in the nucleus of the cell as compared to beta. And so we are able, with the fermented soy, to decrease the number of alpha receptor sites that will excrete the DNA-damaging, cancer-promoting 4 and 16 hydroxyestrogens that might bind to those sites. And it increases the beta receptor sites and the production of those anti-cancer compounds by the body, which are known as ADOLs.
Okay, wait, let's stop here. Walter, I'm going to have to interrupt because we need to take a quick break. But this is getting so interesting. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You are listening to What Women Must Know. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You are listening to What Women Must Know, and I'm so glad you are with us today. We are having a really important conversation with Walter Wainwright, who is the founder and chief counselor for Halen Research Foundation, a United States government-approved 501(c). And most importantly, he has introduced a very special soy phytochemical beverage into the United States. He's been committed to the research of this very specific beverage, which is a food, really, that has amazing capacities to heal and heal our bodies, heal people with cancer issues, rejuvenate on many levels. And we're talking about the deeper dynamics behind cancers, and particularly estrogen-driven cancers. So, Walter, before the break, we were talking about this fascinating discovery of beta receptors. You know, this is something I am sure nobody listening to the show has ever heard of before, and yet it is so critical. So I want to ask you a question. You were saying that people who have less, these beta receptors are able to destroy cancer cells and essentially keep us healthy, and the estrogen alpha cells, so the alpha receptor cells, are where the damage occurs. That's where the estrogens can start affecting the DNA. I have that right so far?
Yep, that is
okay.
Good.
Okay. So my question is, what happens? Why do we get what? I mean, the dynamics change, right? As we get older. Or maybe more toxic, we lose the beta receptors, get more of the alpha, which is why cancer shows up the older we get, but not necessarily.
Women who are 20 years old have an ideal profile of the receptor sites in all of the cells. And all cells, because they involve the estrogen receptor alpha and beta, all are hormonally driven. It was once thought that breast, ovarian, prostate cancers were the only hormonally driven ones, but it's every cancer, lung, brain, everyone. And so what we now know is that the beta receptor site is where the anti-cancer compounds go in the cell that kill the cancer in the nucleus of the cell. The biggest event in the development of cancer is a reduction of the beta receptor sites. For instance, in studies, we did a study in Germany on breast, ovarian, and prostate cancer patients who were treatment resistant. All of those had cancers where they were all reduced down to mutated cells and cancer stem cells, which chemotherapy and radiation do not kill. Now, one person in the prostate cancer group, we increased the number of beta receptor sites 300 times in the nucleus of his cells. At that point, you can deliver 300 times more anti-cancer compound to the beta receptor site, that in turn kills cancer in the cell. Now, people, when we looked at some of them, they had 4, 6, 8, 12 beta receptor sites a cell. There's a big difference between that and 300. And so we know that the androstenes, androstenediol, androstenedione, produce compounds referred to as androstenes. They go to the beta receptor site. They kill melanomas and pancreatic, any form of cancer. But it goes to the beta receptor site. And so when we have too few of the beta receptor sites, then at that point we do not have the ability to deliver or manufacture those compounds that are delivered to those areas. And so the fermented soy increases the hormonal balance in the production of estrogens, testosterone, and other metabolites. And so what happens, people become confused with estrogen metabolism ratios. For instance, the 2-hydroxyestrogens and 16-hydroxyestrogens are markers that have been around for a time, but now there's confusion on that, and because they've had a couple of studies where the research has always thought that a woman to be at low risk of cancer should have at least twice as much of the 2-hydroxyestrogens as compared to the 16s. And so what happens is now they've got some studies that show in reality there are some patients who had a higher level of this 16-hydroxyestrogens, which damage DNA, cause cancer, and beat it up. And even though they had a higher ratio of the 16s as compared to the better estrogens, they wound up with higher cancer rates. Well, the problem is this. The 2-hydroxyestrogens, which are the good ones, those wind up going through the liver and pick up a sulfur compound and produce what's called 2-methoxyestradiol. 2-methoxyestradiol by itself does little or nothing in terms of killing cancer. It has no affinity to either the alpha receptor site or the beta receptor site. But so when we look at people, we can see them have more cancers because it's not totally the 2-methoxyestradiol that is killing the cancer. It kills cancer in the presence of other hormones. And so we need to produce all of the metabolites. Then we have a healthy spectrum. We cannot look at 2-methoxyestradiol, which has little or no cancer-killing capability by itself, and say that it is useless as a marker for health, because what it does do, it causes cell differentiation. It causes those cells to develop receptor sites and functioning. And by so doing, we don't produce the very aggressive cancers. And in addition, when we have the other hormones produced properly with it, they do kill the cancer cells because it's other metabolites that go with it. Now, in addition to that, the blood supply that feeds tumors is important. That is called anti-angiogenesis if you shut off the blood supply. Well, the 2-methoxyestradiol is good for strengthening the capillaries, and by doing so, it shuts off the pool of blood that is formed by cancer cells who put out inflammatory cytokines, and they weaken the capillaries and make them bleed. That is a blood supply that must be had by all cancers. Otherwise, a tumor cannot grow larger than a pencil point. And so the 2-methoxyestradiol is not understood as to what its function is, and why it is very important for a person to have a better ratio of those and others, because they've got functioning for cell differentiation.
Oops, I think we lost our guest here, so hopefully we will be getting him reconnected in just a minute. I have to say this is really such an interesting conversation for me, because the biggest question I've had is what is actually not just driving cancers like breast cancer, but what do we really need to do to make sure we heal it and not just go through treatments? I think one of the things that I learned from listening to recent lectures by Walter, I've been listening to a lot of them, and I know it can seem a little complicated, so I just don't want you to kind of glaze over, because it's really important. One of the most important things that I learned from what he was saying was that you can go through all the treatments of chemo and radiation, but they are not getting to these cancer stem cells. And the cancer stem cells are the ones that can regenerate other cancer cells that can lead to what we call metastases. So while there may be some success with reducing tumors with the more toxic treatments, but actually you're not really addressing the real culprit that can lead to metastases, and that is what most people are really afraid of, and that's what can ultimately be our demise, are the metastases that go to vital functions like the liver and the brain. And when we get Walter back, I'm going to have him talk about what the soy product that he's spending so much of his life dedicated to is really doing. And I think, Walter, are you back? But you're back. That's great.
The phone cut off, so you need to call
me
back.
I know. I knew you had disappeared. So I was just kind of reviewing a few things and just reiterating something of what you said about the cancer stem cells. I know we got a little technical there with this liver metabolism of estrogens, so I don't want people to kind of lose us. I want you to explain one thing that's really important, and it's a question for me. We talked about people who have estrogen receptor cancers, which is found in prostate cancer, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, uterine cancer, lung cancers too, right? Lung cancers and
every cancer is estrogen receptor positive. Or negative, but they have estrogen receptor sites. So estrogens are roughly 74% of breast cancer, but estrogens do affect all cancers because they do have the receptor sites there.
Okay. So I asked you a question once before, and you gave me a really good answer to something that was a bit of a conundrum for me. This is to do with the kind of cancer, breast cancer, that's called triple negative. So these are breast cancers that do not have receptor sites for estrogen, which we know is, estrogen receptor, breast cancer is estrogen receptor positive, is estrogen is fueling those cancers. What about triple negative breast cancers?
Triple negative breast cancers are the most difficult because those patients are not responsive to estrogens, progesterone, and they can also have some gene damage which causes cancer to grow quicker. And when I say gene damage, for instance, ATR2 is a protein that one out of four women are HR2 positive. They produce an increase of the HR2 that makes breast cancer grow quicker. And so the drug Herceptin is used for that. And so what we wind up seeing is that the soy is effective for the triple negative cancers. When nothing works, they work because the mechanisms are more involved with DNA repair and cell differentiation. They are not necessarily focused on the receptor sites and compounds that normally would go to a receptor site. If you could cut them off, you would improve the patient's life. For instance, in the case of the soy, BRCA1, BRCA2 genes in breast, those women with low levels of BRCA1 and BRCA2 gene expression, they wind up with higher rates of breast cancer probability because it is a high risk, because BRCA1, BRCA2 proteins repair DNA damage. The fermented soy reduces the gene, increases the gene expression on BRCA1 and BRCA2, and it reduces the gene expression on HER2. So it works on all of those genes, and by doing that is quite effective. It also has the advantage across the brain barrier where the drug Herceptin does not.
You know, I want to just say that piece of information is so profound because if there were a natural way, which is what you're talking about, that can, first of all, help women who've been diagnosed with this BRCA1, BRCA2 gene disorder or defect, which is sending women to get their breasts removed, right? This is, you know, a prophylactic mastectomy is the general way that women are choosing to go if they have this BRCA1, BRCA2 gene. What you are saying, if they were to work with some of these, well, the Halon 951, which is the name of the product, and make other changes in their diet, they could alter their destiny. They don't have to be terrified that they're going to be diagnosed with breast cancer. Is that what you're saying?
That is it. It's extremely important for women to realize that it's more complicated than the medical group would let them know, and the answers that are out there are not recognized and known by people because how many oncologists are going to tell you that the chemotherapy and radiation are not going to kill the cancer stem cells that kill you? They just cannot bring those words to their lips. And we see that that is where the problem is, because if we have a good understanding of what the nature of it is about, we can at least make better decisions to become cancer-free. And
okay,
we see those produce cancer-free.
Okay, so we only have a few minutes left, and I want to cover a couple of key things. First of all, there's one thing that I heard you say, that if women are choosing to do tamoxifen or Arimidex, they're better choices with tamoxifen. Taking the soy beverage, they get a better outcome. Can you mention that really quickly?
Sure, and I'll go further than that. Misunderstanding on tamoxifen has been around because the pharmaceutical companies have said things that are not accurate. First, they put out words like this. Women who take tamoxifen should not use soy products because theoretically the soy phytoesters occupy the same receptor site as tamoxifen and reduce the effectiveness of the treatment, and it can make those cancers grow quicker. That is not true on any part of that statement. Studies show tamoxifen by itself is 26% effective in breast cancer. Soy protein isolate by itself is 36% effective. The two together are 62% effective. Now, why the two 62% effective? That's because when you add the soy to the tamoxifen, it works on both reducing the alpha receptor site and it increases the beta receptor site, and so it is more effective because it increases immunity. Now, studies show that on aromatase inhibitor and tamoxifen, when you added the soy, it reduced the reoccurrence of the cancer 60% and dropped the death rate 15%. That's extremely important for women to know.
Yeah, absolutely. And one last thing, you know, the thing I want to emphasize, the goal is to increase these beta receptor sites and to reduce the alpha receptor sites, which is, well, people with cancer have more alpha receptor sites, which stimulate the growth of cancers and contribute to the continuing the DNA damage. And the beta receptor sites are anti-cancer. So the soy beverage you're talking about, and we're going to give a website in a minute, actually increases beta receptor sites, right?
It increases the beta receptor sites, decreases the alpha, and reverses people back to a healthy status. And they, in a study with breast, ovarian, prostate cancer patients, treatment-resistant, when chemotherapy and radiation were not choices, the fermented soy worked. And at that point, no one died in the study. No one has used the product in over 4 years in that research, and they are doing very well.
Okay, so, Walter, where do people learn more? Because I'm sure, and I really implore people to go and look up the research and the website that Walter has so you can learn more about this product.
Well, if they send me an email, I will send them a collection of research peer-reviewed, accepted with some very prominent, people. One is an oncologist who has published over 600 peer-reviewed articles. He's the most published oncologist in the world.
Walter, give us the website because we're running out of time, or your email address.
Okay, email Heelan, H-A-E-L-A-N, research, R-E-S-E-A-R-C-H, at gmail.com.
Okay, so Heelan, H-A-E-L-A-N, at Heelan Research.
At gmail.com.
Heelan Research at gmail.com. So
yeah.
That's right. That's where, you know, I advise people if they're interested in learning more to just go to that email Walter and get the vast amount of knowledge, which I have been going through, and you can tell by my voice that I'm really, really impressed and excited about what this research is showing us and explaining in greater depth of what are the dynamics that contribute to breast cancer. Because unless we know that, we don't know what is really going to work in healing it and preventing its recurrence. By the way, Walter, what other conditions can benefit from this Heelan soy beverage?
Well, I have studies with elite NATO military soldiers with post-traumatic stress disorder. I have probably the longest living person with ALS, Lou Gehrig's. He's actually healthier now than he was prior to his diagnosis.
Amazing.
It's extremely good for any type of liver condition, functioning, any organ, because when you repair the DNA damage, then you bring those cells to a higher functioning capability. So we see anti-aging, best prevention is with maybe 2 tablespoons a day, and then people will be healthier. And I think that's really where we should be focusing, is on prevention, not trying to treat people when they get problems.
Well, I mean, you inspired me to start taking the Heelan product, so I've been taking it every day because it's really an anti-aging food. It really helps rejuvenate the body and also is a protection.
And it's sold in this country as a food without claims, although it's good for endometriosis, uterine cancer, fibroids, all types of feminine-type problems. But for mental problems, I have some patents using fermented soy on schizophrenia, bipolar, postnatal depression, post-traumatic stress disorder. Serious mental diseases are caused by stress hormones crossing the brain barrier, not by imbalances of dopamine or serotonin in the brain.
Yeah, well, so, you know, really there's so many applications of taking this soy beverage, the Heelan product. And really, I mean, the reason we're talking about and even naming a product, because you're the one who's brought it in and has developed it, and it's really not available anywhere else, right? This is unique to you.
Yeah, over 20 years of research, close to 30.
Yeah. Is there a website as well, Walter, people can go?
There are several. If they get Google Heelan, H-A-E-L-A-N, there are people out there, third parties, who can say a lot more than the company would say on the product, because it's sold without claims,
right,
with diseases. But if they just Google H-A-E-L-A-N 951, there'll be several sites that will come up with information.
Right. I mean, like anything, you have to be so careful to what you say, especially when your product is phenomenal and does do amazing things. You have to be careful in this crazy world that we live in. Walter, we only have one more minute. Is there anything else you want to add that we didn't get a chance to say?
I'll let that go. There's nothing I can say in a minute that's going to change much. Okay.
Right. I mean, you already shared so much. And if nothing else, I really invite everybody to get curious, do more research. There are amazing, amazing solutions and products out there that support our body's ability to heal from any disease. So, Walter, I want to, first of all, thank you for your commitment and dedication to the research that is behind the Haven 951 product, and the just tremendous amount of commitment you have to helping people. Thank you so much, and thank you for being with us today.
You're welcome, and thank you.
Okay, and everyone else listening, thank you for tuning in once more. I hope you will get curious, continue to learn. Miracles abound. And remember, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.